Good day. My name is Toby Jordan. I'm a director at CDH and I specialize in business rescue, restructuring and insolvency. I'm joined today by Annelie Zadernote, who is a senior associate in our employment department. Thank you for taking the time to listen to this recording. With the business rescue proceedings of the national air carrier publicly on display, it is no surprise that the matter between South African Airways and NUMSA, previously before the Labour Court and now the Labour Appeal Court, has caught the attention of many South Africans. As you may already be aware, the Labour Appeal Court handed down its judgment yesterday. Annelie and I will provide you with a high-level overview of the judgment and the laws of business rescue and insolvency. Should you require further detailed advice, please feel free to contact us. The main issue that the appeal court had to decide was whether a business rescue practitioner is empowered to retrench employees in the absence of a business rescue plan. The appeal court upheld the Labour Court's decision and the appeal was dismissed. Practically, this means that a moratorium has been set on retrenchments prior to the adoption of a business rescue plan. According to the Labour Court, the justification for this can be found in the main objective of a business rescue, being to provide for the efficient rescue and recovery of a financially distressed company, while balancing the rights and interests of all relevant stakeholders, which included that of employees. The court found that the success of rescuing the whole company naturally included the preservation of jobs. It concluded with dealing with the issue of voluntary severance packages and found that there would be no reason as to why the BRPs could not unilaterally offer voluntary severance packages to the employees in the circumstances. Naturally, this judgment will affect business rescue proceedings in general, and I think that there will be positive and negative impacts. In many cases, it will be financially impossible for a company to continue paying its employees until a business rescue plan is approved, especially in complex business rescues, where it may take longer to prepare a suitable business rescue plan. Having to wait for the plan to be approved before carrying out retrenchments may render many businesses unlikely to succeed. The judgment could have a detrimental effect on the objectives of business rescue, being inter alia to return a company to solvency. If the company cannot be returned to solvency, or there are no reasonable prospects of ensuring a better dividend for creditors than would on an immediate liquidation, the company may then have to be liquidated, which will ultimately leave the employees in a worse off position. Even if the company remains in business rescue, it may lead to even greater job losses as a result of the delay in effecting retrenchments and the impact on the business's cash flow. Going forward, some businesses may decide to rather immediately liquidate than go into business rescue, because having to wait to retrench employees until the approval of the plan will have major cost implications, especially for a company that's already in dire financial distress. But from a positive perspective, the judgment has placed major emphasis on the rights and interests of employees and the importance of balancing the rights of all stakeholders in a business rescue. It emphasizes that when considering the success of rescuing the business, job security and the preservation of jobs, is just as important restoring the company to a financially healthy state. The judgment vindicates the rights and interests of employees and demonstrates that they have a very important place at the table in a business rescue. Another positive is that it will force business rescue practitioners to formulate a business rescue plan a lot quicker than normal, and it will avoid unnecessary delays. However, it must also be considered that in a complex business rescue, it's sometimes impossible to formulate a workable and feasible plan over a short period of time. I'm concerned that with more and more companies filing for business rescue as a result of the lockdown and the capacity constraints that the practitioners will face, that we will see more and more vanilla type plans being published, which plans may not contain sufficient detail to assist the creators and employees in deciding whether to adopt or reject the proposed plan. These types of plans often lead to uncertainty amongst the creators and employees, which in turn may result in various requests for amendments of the plan, which will delay the adoption process. So, Anli, how does this affect the retrenchment process, particularly in business rescue going forward? And does it shift the employer's right to contemplate retrenchments?
Yes, it does, Toby. So the Labour Relations Act requires that employers should commence consultation processes with its employees as soon as it contemplates retrenchments. And when a retrenchment is contemplated, it is usually within the discretion of the employer. This judgment has the impact of postponing that obligation to start consulting until the retrenchments are rooted in the business rescue plans. For this reason, an employer has an election to make. It must either commence the business rescue and then contemplate the retrenchments in terms of its plans, or alternatively, it should commence its restructuring and consultation processes before it starts its business rescue proceedings.
So with this in mind, how would we then recommend business rescue practitioners or companies to deal with the issue of retrenchments going forward in a manner that would balance the rights of all stakeholders? And as it was mentioned in the judgment, voluntary severance packages could be considered, as well as considering retrenchment or restructuring prior to instituting business rescue proceedings. And I think where SAA fell short in this respect was having started the retrenchment process at the end of 2019, and then having abandoned it prior to the business rescue. Revisiting the process once the business rescue practitioners had been appointed ultimately caused for the unrest, as the retrenchments now felt part of the business rescue proceedings. Should the need arise to consider retrenchments after the business rescue proceedings have already commenced, the BRPs will need to ensure that the rights and interests of employees are properly catered for in the business rescue plan, and that retrenchments contemplated in the plan are strictly necessary for purpose of rescuing the company. But Anli, how would you then recommend a company in distress or a business rescue practitioner undertakes an organizational restructure while ensuring fair labor practice and promoting the constitutional right to security of employment?
So if a business rescue practitioner is unable to wait for the retrenchments to be contemplated or rooted in the business rescue plan as the SAA judgment requires, it must offer voluntary severance packages to its employees. A very valuable aspect of this judgment is that it has clarified that aspect of employment law, and that employers are now permitted to offer voluntary severance packages even before they start the formal consultation processes. However, the negative effect of that is that, unfortunately, voluntary severance packages carries an additional financial burden, in that you'll only secure employees' agreements to be retrenched voluntarily if you offer to pay them something more than the minimum severance pay. In terms of the BCA, the minimum severance pay is 1 week's remuneration per completed year of service, but should the business rescue practitioner then have a dire need to retrench without it necessarily being rooted in the plan, it would need to up that offer to a more favorable amount in order to secure these agreements and to nevertheless retrench employees.
Thank you, Anli, and thank you again for listening to this podcast. Please feel free to reach out to us should you require any further assistance. Thank you and goodbye.